Good afternoon, everyone. How is everyone? It was good to meet a lot of you yesterday in that working session. So, introduce myself. I'm Ryan McNeil. I'm a PhD student at in the Department of Horticulture at the University of Georgia. I'm also the superintendent of the Horticulture Research Farm for the university, which is located in Watkinsville. It's just outside of Athens, so wear a couple hats. And today I'm just going to go over some of the first research I've been doing. It's really just an observational study, but I'm hoping it kind of leads into other things for my research. And is the title of it is Changes in the Nutrient Profiles of Developing Chinese Chestnut Seeds. So first, just a little bit of an introduction. This was in the abstract I submitted. As you know, as plants grow and develop, they acquire their mineral nutrients from their environment. And then in turn, developing seed embryos acquire their mineral nutrition from their mother plants. Chinese chestnut, Castanea millissima, is an economically important nut tree species in Asia, but the cultivation in the United States is somewhat limited. There are some commercial growers, I believe, in Florida that market these Dunston hybrids, which are probably mostly Chinese, but also I think there's some growers now in the Midwest, Missouri, Oklahoma. But Chinese chestnut is used, most importantly, at least from my point of view, is used as a genetic source of disease resistance in breeding programs with the American chestnut, Castanea dentata. I couldn't really give this presentation. Full disclosure, I'm a member of the American Chestnut Foundation. So just talk just real briefly about chestnut blight. So in 1904, what was to be called chestnut blight, Cryphonectria parasitica, was discovered in the Bronx Zoo in New York. It's a fungal pathogen, an ascomycete, and it was most probably brought to this country on an imported Asian chestnut stock, probably Chinese chestnut, although Japanese chestnut has also been implicated. And it spread rapidly, so almost 200 miles per decade from its first, it was first noticed in New York, so that by the 1950s, it had already reached the Georgia and its southern range. And this is a map that's used, I got this from the American Chestnut Foundation website, and it shows the historic range of American chestnut. And so you can see most, or a good portion of the eastern hardwood forest was dominated by American chestnut. Estimates are that 1/4 of the trees were American chestnut, and so when this disease came in, 3 to 5 billion, with a B, billion trees were wiped out. So that's my little aside. For this study, the collection of seeds, developing Chinese chestnut seeds were collected from three large trees that are located in Athens, Georgia. They were collected on three dates each in 2016 and 2017, actually just about starting at this time, early August, middle of August, and then again at the beginning of September. The seeds were excised from their burrs, and then their pericarp and the seed coat layers were removed before they were dried in a drying oven, which was set between 170 to 200 Fahrenheit for about 48 hours to fully dry them out before processing. And this is what you get with chestnut. If you're not familiar, this spiky burr involucre surrounds the chestnuts, and so that had to be, of course, removed. But then inside, you can see these lovely chestnut brown chestnut seeds developing nicely. And this is how I was able to collect these chestnut burrs. These, again, were some pretty large extent trees that were located in Athens. There were some lower branches, but not enough to really get enough for my sampling. So I was able to employ the campus arborist to come in with their cherry picker. I did not go in the bucket, but they were kind enough to get up into the crowns of these trees and remove a random sampling from each of these. There's three trees here at three different dates. So once I actually had these seeds, I had to bring them back and basically open them up. You can see here, again, that spiky involucre. I've got two sets of pretty thick latex gloves on my right hand, and then in addition, I have a pretty thick leather glove on my left hand trying to shuck these things open. I'd say it's like shucking a oyster, but it's more like a sea urchin. So they even still would poke through that. I should also say I had a group of student workers who would help me do this, so I didn't do it all alone. When you first open up these developing seeds or these burrs, if you start too early, so you can see this first picture on the left from early July 2016, just a few weeks, really, after enthesis, that the developing nuts from the burrs are quite small. You can see they're only 1-2 millimeters across in diameter. And the endosperm is almost completely liquid. So that's really not good for a sampling, for the sampling I was doing at least. But in a short time, just a couple weeks later, you can see how much they've matured. They've endosperm has been completely taken up by the cotyledons, and it's they're almost a centimeter now at this point. So this is really the optimum amount. This was me just sampling, so it was about a week after this that I started collecting in earnest. And this is just to show you another sampling date from 2017. And these are the seeds after they've, of course, been opened up, cleaned, and then put in the drying oven. So you can see some of them are have a little toasting to them. But so once they've been, of course, cleaned and dried, the nutrient analysis. The dried kernels were sent to the UGA soil plant and water lab. Four samples were analyzed from each of those trees, those three trees, per harvest date. And then, of course, we were looking at the inorganic nutrient profile, so these macro and micronutrients were analyzed. And this is what you get back from the analysis lab. What you can see is just a big matrix, the macronutrients on the left, presented in percentages, and the micronutrients on the right. So with the macronutrients, calcium, potassium, magnesium, phosphorus, nitrogen, sulfur, and of course all these micronutrients. You can see for a lot of these micronutrients, though, the levels were below their ability to actually test. So that's why you see the less than certain amounts. And so for analysis purposes, I did not include them for the second part of this. So year-to-year comparisons, like I said, I sampled these over 2 years, 2016 and 17. But due to variations in environmental conditions, it can cause differences in the developmental ontogeny of seeds between years. So even though I was sampling at more or less the same dates in these 2 years, there was definitely differences in their development. So to standardize the nutrient profiles of the kernels sampled at similar dates between years, we did a little analysis of these some of these digital images. Using Fiji or ImageJ, the images of the dried kernels were analyzed. Basically, Fiji or ImageJ, it's a free and open source image processing software. It can be used to calculate areas of difficult to measure features in digital images. So let's go over a little bit about what that involved. So bring you back to this image I showed you of these dried kernels. What you might not notice is that the very top of the image is a very dark or dirty meter stick. And that's important when doing this. So when measuring, try to get these area measurements. First thing you need to do is kind of standardize the pixel, the number of pixels and how it relates to a certain length. So in this, using a meter stick as a point of reference, you can see this, I'll highlight it here with the mouse for this small yellow line that was used to calibrate the number of pixels. So here it is going over 5 centimeters, 50 millimeters. And so once that is calculated, you can see also at the top of the Fiji window, this is just a screen grab that you can hit analyze, and then there's a selection there to calibrate. So now that I have that kind of set in the program, it allows me to do these measurements. But before you can do it, you have to be able to isolate the individual points of reference within the image. So to analyze these chestnuts in the image, you go to the top of the page. There's an image. You can adjust this color threshold. And by manipulating, as you'll see in this next slide, by manipulating the hue, saturation, and brightness of the picture, you can highlight the images or the features that are of interest. It's important, of course, then to have a something of a neutral background or at least a different color from what you're trying to analyze. As you can see here, that brown paper bag and the meter stick at the top were roughly the same color, so they highlighted as well. But it's not a point, it's not a problem, as long as the items you're trying to are distinct from one another. So if you go across the top of the image, you can then hit a selection tool. And since these are highlighted in red, I can click on each one of these individually, and then using your keyboard as a shortcut, hit Control-M or to measure. And as you can see, I did the top line of these chestnuts here, and here's the square, you know, here's the area given in square millimeters, because that was the point of reference that I used. And you can see this last one here is still highlighted in yellow. Of course, there are some problems sometimes, you know, coloration differences in the seeds. You can see some little inclusions here, but as long as the perimeter is solid enough, it should give an accurate measure. So I've got these nutrient profiles given to the lab, and I have these measurements for each sampling date and each tree. take that data and basically input it into SAS, or you import it into Excel and then import it into SAS. And I wanted to run these correlations between, if I could find some kind of correlation between these mineral nutrients and the size of the seeds. So, of course, when you do these correlations, it does every variable by every variable. So this is just kind of a screen grab from that last page. And what I wanted to highlight were areas where there was these strong correlations, correlations above 0.7, the absolute value of 0.7, and moderate, so between 0.5 and 0.69. And I'll highlight these a little bit better. So for a pretty high correlation, the potassium and zinc levels were fairly high, although there was a negative correlation, which would suggest that as these seeds got larger, the relative proportions of these two mineral nutrients actually declined a little bit. But for these moderate correlations, magnesium, nitrogen, copper, and nickel, it was interesting that they're all negative, except for magnesium and copper. They actually had a pretty positive correlation, and they're pretty high, not quite at that 0.7, which would consider it a high threshold. But would make sense that as these seeds are getting closer to maturity, that these mineral nutrients that are important in photosynthesis would become ramped up. So what's the upshot of this research? Basically, we wanted to use this information to from nutrient assays. They could guide fertilization regimes for bearing chestnut trees if someone's doing commercial production. And more for my future research, I wanted to use this nutrient assays to hopefully guide the formulation of optimized tissue culture media for somatic embryogenesis. So I work in a tissue culture lab as well. And chestnut is somewhat recalcitrant also, not only just vegetative cuttings, but with also somatic embryogenesis. So hopefully we can use this information to tweak woody plant medium and see if we can get a little better germination. And with that, I'd be glad to answer any questions. Not all at once, please.
Did you do any analysis? I noticed some of the nuts, and you mentioned there was different colors.
Was yeah.
That
I think it's through the drying process, too. Sometimes I think it was a little too hot in that drying oven. There were instances where I actually, experimented leaving the little integument, little seed coat layer on there, because it's pretty hard to peel off when it's pretty young, but if you dry it, it kind of sloughs off. But those were, I don't know exactly why there was these differences in there. But, yeah, you can see some were pretty light in color.
Any commercial market for those there?
For Chinese chestnut, I think it's growing. I mean, it is different in some of these other nuts in that it's higher in carbohydrates. It doesn't have the storage. But, there's definitely a market for it in Asia, and so goes, Asian markets. There's obviously a lot of potential there. I was able to find some products for some of my presentations at school, but, I had to order it. A lot of them come from Asia, so using a lot of cookies and stuff. I don't know about wood quality of the Asian chestnut, but I know the American chestnut is also in addition to nut, but it's also an important timber species.
And are the eating qualities the same between American and...
Good question. The question was, are the eating qualities... I'm sorry, I didn't repeat the last question. But are the eating qualities the same? So, not from my research, but from one of my colleagues, he reports that there's actually a little bit higher fat content in the American chestnut, which might actually make them taste a little sweeter, versus the Chinese chestnut, which is pretty low, like 3-5%. So there would be, even though the American chestnuts are a lot smaller compared to a Chinese chestnut, I wish I had a comparison of the two. I think that extra fat content makes it a little, probably better taste. Thank you, Dr. Ferguson.
Thank you.